Two many, many years ago, his name was Richard Owen Roberts. He was a preacher and a missionary for over 50 years. But he also owned a big bookstore. It was actually one of the largest bookstores that there was in America. And Reverend Roberts had a bookstore that was a used bookstore, and then he had one that was a new bookstore. And he traveled all around the world, and he went everywhere preaching the gospel of God. And as he preached the gospel of God, as he found himself in another English-speaking nation, he began to touch base with booksellers over that way, and he would buy books for his big bookstore. Sometimes 60,000 volumes at a time, sometimes 600,000 volumes at a time. But he used and had a theological section in his bookstore, and he run up with this fellow over in England that was a theologian bookstore seller. He sold books that contained theology. And every time he would visit, he struck up a friendship with him, so every time that he would visit, he would go over to England, and they would come together, and he would stay at his house. And he said, it was my opinion that this man, although he was involved in theology, he was a bookseller of theology, and he understood theology and was a master at it, in fact, had a master degree in it. He said he felt like that man was unregenerate, that he had never given his heart to the Lord. He said, because every time he tried to have a spiritual conversation with him and change the conversation from theology to spiritual, he would always change the subject. And I have met a lot of people in my life. They know a lot about God. They know a lot about the Bible. They know a lot about religion. They know a lot about theology. But when you really start talking to them spiritually, they can't talk to you spiritually because, see, there are things in life that are spiritual and they are spiritually discerned. They're not discerned physically. And when you have a spiritual conversation with someone, it's much deeper than a regular physical conversation. You can be talking about church in a physical conversation and be talking about church in a spiritual conversation, and the subjects are completely different. And he began to understand that he was unregenerate. But he would stay in this man's home sometimes 4 weeks, 5 weeks at the time while he was there. And although he was brilliant theologically, this bookseller never ever acknowledged that he was Jesus Christ's child. He never acknowledged Jesus as the Lord in his life. What that teaches you is that being a theologian or being theological or knowing a whole lot about theology, knowing a whole lot about the Bible, knowing a whole lot about the church, knowing a whole lot about God does not make you a Christian. How many would say amen on that? Amen. How many met a lot of people knows a whole lot about church and a whole lot about God, but they ain't no Christian. Amen. They've never given their heart to the Lord. So Reverend Roberts one day was at home in Chicago, and the telephone rang, and he picked up the phone, and the bookseller was on the other line, and he says, I want you to meet me in Chicago. He said, I'm flying to the Chicago O'Hare Airport, and I want you to pick me up. I want to spend about 3 days with you, for I have an agenda that I need to get accomplished in America, and I'm going to be over in America for maybe 4 weeks, but I want to spend 3 or 4 days with you at that point. And he said, all right, I'll be happy to pick you up. And he told him what day, and he went to the Chicago O'Hare Airport, and he met him there, and the bookseller came out and got in his car, and as they pulled out of the parking lot, he looked at him, and he said, well, let me go ahead and tell you the purpose of my visit. He said, the reason why I have come to America is I have come to go and visit the top 30 Christian preachers that y'all have in America. This was not very long ago, by the way. He said, I am going to go for the next few weeks, and I have it set out in map. I'm going to go visit the top 30 preachers that y'all have in America. He said, because I want to hear American preachers preach the gospel. Well, after about a month, he returned back home, and about 3 weeks later, Reverend Roberts had to go back to England. So he called him up and told him that he would be there on a certain date, and he said, I'll meet you at the airport. He went and got him, and he got there, and they sat around, and they had dinner around the table. And as he finished up dinner, Reverend Roberts looked at the bookseller, and he says, tell me about your visit to America and these great preachers you went and heard. And he said, all of a sudden, this theologian grabbed his fist that was quite large and walloped the table and said, go into here, 30 top preachers in America. I didn't hear the first sermon. And he said he was kind of taken aback with that there. He said, I didn't hear a single sermon preached in America. He said, I went to 30 of the largest churches that there was in America, the most famous preachers that there are in America. And I want to tell you, you do not have preachers in America. You have teachers in America. And Reverend Roberts said, well, what's the difference? Naively, he said, I want to know what's the difference. I've been a pastor, I've been a minister, I've been a missionary for 50 years. What's the difference in teaching and in preaching? And again, he said, the man grabbed his fist, balled it up, and walloped the table. And when he hit the table, he knocked the table completely apart. It fell down at their feet. And he said, it is a long-term fact that to teach is to inform somebody, but to preach is to move somebody. Can I say that again? Amen. It is a long-term fact that to teach somebody is to inform somebody, but to preach to somebody is to move somebody. That is a statement. If Kip Nance has not ever said it before, I have patterned my life with that, because my whole point in preaching is to try to move people from where they are to where they should be. You see, a teacher, and I love to teach. I'm not throwing a teacher that we need them. In fact, back in the day in the old country, there was a teaching minister on staff, and there was a preaching minister that was on staff. There were preaching deacons, and there were teaching deacons that were on staff. The church needs teachers, and the church needs preachers. Would you say amen? Amen. A teacher informs you of what you don't know. And I'm going to have to say, God has given me a gift to teach. I can sit down and I can break scriptures out to you and show you things in scriptures that other people's never even seen. I can take scriptures by the grace of God and by the power God has given me and the gift he's given me and carry it deep enough to where it will just literally wow your mind. But teaching somebody, all it does is inform them what they don't know. But a preacher, a true preacher, he finds people where they are. And when he finds them there, he knows they don't belong there. And when he sees they don't belong there, as he begins to preach to them, he moves them from where they are to where they belong. I'm going to share with you today, there are not a lot of preachers that's behind the pulpit in America today. Would you say amen? Amen? There are not a lot of preachers preaching the gospel of God. There are not a lot of preachers finding people that are hearing them where they are, admonishing them for being where they are, sharing with them the consequences of what it is to be where they are, and move them from where they are to where they should be. And we need more of that in the house of God. If there's anything more that we need in the house of God today, I don't know what it is. We need somebody to preach the word of God. Everybody holler out and say amen. Amen. Paul told Timothy, he said, you preach the word of God. All around in the United States of America, we've got countless numbers of people just like that bookseller. They're not where they're supposed to be. They don't like where they are, and they want to be moved from where they are to where they should be. and they are going to church every Sunday, and they are leaving the very same way that they came. Amen. Because there is not a preacher behind the pulpit. I want to say here this morning, thank God for a preacher. If you've got a preacher, you need to thank God for him. You need to pray for him. If you've got a teacher behind the pulpit, you need to pray that he'll learn how to preach. Amen. Because there's a whole lot of people that say they are preachers. They are not preachers. Amen? Amen. Their heads, people are coming to the church, and their heads are so full of information right now, they are oversaturated, and they are so hungry to hear the true gospel of God, and people literally want to be moved by what they hear, but they don't hear nothing that moves them from where they are to where they should be. And we need some preachers behind the pulpit that don't care if it makes the head deacon mad, if it don't care if it makes Uncle so-and-so mad, that don't care if it makes his wife mad. He's going to preach the word of God regardless. God is looking for a man or a woman that can take the heart of God and share it with the people and grab those people where they are and move them where they're supposed to be. So often in my life, I have asked myself over and over again, I don't need no one to critic me. I criticize myself more than anybody else. I am my number one critic, because I go before the Lord and I say, Lord, am I preaching to these people or am I just teaching these people? Now, I want to share with you, I struggle on the inside because I absolutely love teaching. I am called to be a teacher. I love to teach. I love to take something and break it down. I have an inquisitive mind. I have an inquiring mind. I am going to sit down and look at something, and I'm going to try to rationalize it all the way down. And I love taking the information I glean and hand it out to people. But I hate to have to preach. I hate to have to preach because I know when I preach, I am going to hammer some people. I am going to pierce some people. And I'm going to set some people on fire. And I don't know about you, but I have committed myself to God that I am going to preach the word, and I am going to hammer what needs to be hammered. I'm going to break in pieces what needs to be broken in pieces. I am literally going to pierce things down to the very deepest root that I can find it. And I am going to light up some people that are cold and need the fire of God in their life. Can the church say amen? So I've been asking myself, have I just been preaching from the Word of God, or have I been preaching the Word of God? Am I just teaching these people what they don't know, or am I preaching to these people, finding them where they are, and moving them to where they should be? Nobody wants nobody to preach on fornication anymore or adultery anymore. Nobody wants to preach about not coming to church anymore. Nobody don't want to hear it. Nobody wants to be preached on about prayerlessness. Nobody wants to hear a man stand up and preach about all the things that you're guilty of. Nobody wants to hear that, so we think. But the true matter is, there are people that are out there and they are hungry, and they do not need to be taught. They need to be preached to. And when they are preached to, God will find them where they are and move them where they need to be. Amen. Amen. So we are committing ourselves here in Living Water Worship Center that we are going to preach the Word of God. Amen. Amen. Teaching is important. I love to teach. It's important. But there is a huge difference in between being informed and being moved. Some of y'all, under the sound of my voice, you can sit down and you can talk with people because of what I've preached deeper than you've ever been able to talk to them before, because I've informed you what these scriptures have to say. But there are others, under the sound of my voice, you are still at the same place I found you 15 years ago. And it is time for you to get out of the place that you're at, and let's get to where you need to be. Amen? Amen. Paul told Timothy in Timothy chapter number 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2, he said, preach the word. Amen. Look at somebody and say, preach the word. Amen. He told him, he said, you be instant in season and you be instant out of season. He said, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and with doctrine. Now, I want to share with you that word preach means to proclaim and urge somebody to accept the message that you are preaching. And the way you urge them to accept the message that you are preaching is to give them a warning. Amen. That's how you preach. If you continually live together with that man you're not married with, I don't care how much in your mind you are informed. I don't care how much you say Jesus is your Lord. You will not go to heaven. You're going to hell according to the scripture. Amen. Amen. Oh, y'all got to hear me now. Amen. If you are out of covenant with God, you can go to hell. Amen. Out of covenant with God. We've been studying in Sunday school that we're under grace and how powerful grace is. And I thank God for those people that have grace and have found grace and they are walking under grace. But there's a lot of us under the sound of my voice here in this church and on the line here this morning. You have thought that you have found God. You thought that you got things right with God. You thought that you have repented, but you have not yet had a transaction with God. And if God was to come right now, this minute, hell will be your home. Amen. Now it's time to preach the word. Amen. Amen. You think you're all right and you can pass it off because brother so-and-so did it and brother so-and-so stood in front of brother so-and-so's casket and preached him into heaven. But let me share with you, sin is sin and there is a place for you if you are dying in sin, and that is called hell, fire, and brimstone. It is time to preach the word of God. Amen. Amen. You proclaim the word and the message, and you have people and encourage them to accept the message that you are preaching, and you do it by warning them. 2 weeks ago, I stood before this church. I told you in a warning, it is time for you to get right with God. Amen. I have warned several of you. I even heard two or three say, oh, he's just trying to scare you. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to find you where you are and move you from where you are to where you should be. I am tired of people casting off the word of God and not accepting the word of God. I'm here to tell you it is time to let people know that these warnings can come to pass in your life. Amen. So, how do you know whether or not you've preached just from the word of God, or just preached about the word of God, or you've preached the word of God? How do you know that? There's a difference in preaching from the word. There's a difference in preaching about the word. And there's a big difference in preaching the word. And sometimes, as ministers, we fall into the situation to where we preached from the word, and we've preached about the word, and we've failed to preach the word of God. And we have approached preaching the word to the point as we are trying to hit somebody's head, and we're not trying to hit their heart, because we have fell for the lie that if we will hit somebody's head enough, eventually it'll get to their heart. No, it will not. God said you have a wicked heart. God said you have a stubborn mind. God said you are hard-headed. I can sit here with a hammer and beat your head in. It's not getting to your heart. The gospel of God gets to the heart and changes the heart of man from where he's at and brings him to where he should be. Everybody needs to say amen on that. Amen. Many preachers actually believe that, but the statement itself shows how dumb that statement truly is. How in the world can a heart of stone affect a brain that is God dead? There's no way in the world for it to happen. If your brain is God dead, your heart will never affect your brain. And if there ain't no God in your heart, it certainly ain't going to renew your mind. So we have been standing up preaching the Word of God, preachers that are a whole lot better orators than I am, preaching out of the Word of God and neglecting to preach the Word of God. I want you to look at your neighbor again and say, preach the Word of God. So how does a serious, a burdened, an earnest Christian proclaimer of divine truth from heaven itself, how does he discern whether he has preached the word or simply preached from it? Amen. How does he know that? Paul told Timothy, you preach the word. And that word preach means you declare the message and urge the people to accept the message by warning them what will happen to them if they do not accept the message. Then he goes further and he says, the next thing you got to do is you got to reprove them. Everybody holler out and say, reprove them. That word, when you look it up in the language, in English language, it means to convict. Convict. I'm here to tell you, I've been and listened, and I went this week, and I made it a point this week to listen to two preachers preach, two different preachers preach every day, and not a single one of them convicted me of anything. 12 different preachers this week, I listened to, some of them preached an hour and a half, and none of them convicted me of anything. So we're falling from preaching the Word of God. But that word, reprove, means you declare somebody guilty of a criminal offense by a judgmental decree that has been delivered from heaven above. You tell people you're guilty of this. That's what he's telling them to do. And he goes further. He says, and it also means to refute. It means to prove somebody's belief to be wrong. There's a lot of people believe that if they come to church one time a week, everything's all right. It's not all right. The early church came to church every day, three times a day. They were the Ephesus church. The word Ephesus means God's desired church. God desires you to build your whole life around church, not your life around the building. God wants his church to be number one in your life next to Jesus Christ. And we, I just got the kickback right there. A lot of people don't want to hear that. But my message to you is that church attendance is very important because that's the least thing God requires of you. And we are failing in that. And we are going to pay the price for not doing what we're supposed to do. I want y'all to hear the word of God with that. That word rebuke or reprove means to shame the guilty. I ain't going to that church out there. That man will call me out. We need some more men that will call you out. I ain't going out there to that church. That preacher preaches too hard. We need some that literally scares the hell out of the sinner today. Can I preach the message of God for a few minutes? Amen. That word reprove means to expose what's in the dark and bring it into the light. Show people, other people, what other people are doing in the dark and bring it out the light. How many would stay in a church if that went on all the time? What if your preacher knew what you were doing and stood up in front of the church and said, you know, Ben's doing so-and-so, and John's doing so-and-so, and Liv's doing this, and Darlene's doing this. How long would you stay in that church? Oh, you wouldn't want to go, would you? But that's what a preacher is. A preacher brings out the guilty one and declares him guilty. Just like Peter looked at Ananias and Sapphira and said, why are you lying to the Holy Ghost? And they dropped dead right there. That's what a preacher is. There's a difference between a teacher and a preacher. It means to correct that person and call them to account. Hold them accountable to what they were said they were going to do. Now, I'm going to share with you, I love Living Water Worship Center. I love every one of you. I pray for you every day. I have labored my whole life for you. If there's anybody that has any right to hold you accountable, it would be me. And I want to share with you, none of y'all like being held accountable. Oh, the minute I start holding you accountable, you gather around your dinette and you run me down. Or the telephone starts ringing from one to the other ear and things begin to gossip. Oh, y'all ain't want to hear the word of God this morning, do you? Amen. Amen. All that happens, we don't want to hear it. We want to be able to come in and be patted on the back and say everything's going to be all right just because you showed up at church this morning. No, sir. That's not what reproving is. Then he told him, he said, I want you to rebuke some people. That word rebuke means to express sharp reproval or sharp disapproval and criticize their behavior and to reprimand them. Anybody been associated with a church where people were reprimanded? Ever been associated with a church or a minister that when you got out of whack, he reprimanded you? We need to get back to that today. Amen. Amen. He said you are to preach the word, you are to reprove them, you are to rebuke them, and you are to exhort them. The word exhort means to call them to change sides. I want you to look at your neighbor this morning, look at him, and tell them it's time you change sides. Find another one here this morning, look at him in their eyes, say, I love you, but it's time for you to change sides. I'm exhorting you today that you change side. It means to encourage you to move from where you are and to move where you should be. Every one of you here today, if I was to stand you behind this pulpit and ask you, are you where you're supposed to be? You would have to tell me no. And if you're not where you're supposed to be, it's time for you to get where you're supposed to be. I am calling on this church to change sides. I am calling on this church to straighten up their life. I'm calling on this church to adhere to the word of Almighty God. I am calling on this church to quit acting like you are Christian and be a Christian. I'm calling on this church to be a child that is blood bought by the blood of Jesus Christ and live the life that we're supposed to live, because not one word of God's word has ever changed. Can I preach this morning? Amen. So how do you know if the word's been preached? Ask your neighbor right beside him, say, is he preaching the word this morning? Oh, you know when the word's being preached, don't you? You know it because it don't hit you here. And you don't grab the preacher out yonder on the back, on the outside of the vestibule and shake his hand and say, boy, you sure got my toes this morning. No, when it grabs you, and it grabs you right, the word has been preached. The word of God grabs a hold of your heart and runs you to this altar. And you grab that preacher and you say, if I hadn't been for you, I'd be going to hell right now. And I know that the word of God is penetrating my life. It's time to preach the word. Everybody holler out and say, preach the word. It's time to get back to a time where a man will stand up in boldness and say, arrest me if you will. Put me behind bars if you want to. Run me out of this pulpit if you want to. Get mad with me if you like. Can't sit there and run my character down if you want to. Get around at the house that you're dying at and sit there and destroy my sermon. But it does not change the fact that I'm going to preach the word of God every time I get an opportunity to do so, and I will not back up. That's what type of man we need behind the pulpit. Oh, am I talking to anybody this morning? So how do you know if you're preaching the word of God? Well, the Bible is a big help. It's a real big help. The Bible explains what the word of God is. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 28 through 29 says this. The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. Then he asked a question. He says, what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? In other words, what he's saying is, let the false prophets tell you about their dreams. He's also said, but let the true messenger of God faithfully proclaim my every word. In other words, he says there's a difference between straw and grain. Someone say amen.
Amen.
How many of you have a very nice horse would want to feed that horse straw when you had the type of horse hay that you needed to make that horse a stallion? How many would go out there and grab straw off of pine trees to give it to your horse? You wouldn't do that, would you? God said that a prophet telling a dream, a false prophet telling something he's dreamed up. He said, let him tell the dream. He said, but the true man of God that has the true message of God, let him faithfully deliver the word of God, because what the man that's telling the dream is what he's feeding his flock is a bunch of straw, but what the man that is preaching the word of God is doing is he's giving his congregation the grain and the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
Then God in verse 29 asked this. He said, is not my word like a fire? Is not my word like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? You see, when you preach the word of God, you release a fire. There's a fire burn up in my bones, and it's got to come out of my bones. And if it comes out of my bones, it's going to light up everybody that's hearing what God's got to say. Amen. There's a hammer that has crushed me on the inside. And if you've been crushed on the inside, then you began to share with people how God crushed you, how things in your life crushed you down. And then as it is released, the hammer of God begins to crush people up like rocks right in front of you. It destroys your stubbornness. It destroys your attitude. It destroys you being at the point where you're highly exalted within yourself. And it gives you a better idea who God actually is. God says, my word burns like fire. He even asked a question. He said, don't my word burn like a fire? Don't my word crush rocks like a hammer? And then Paul, writing in Hebrews 4:12, says, for the word of God is quick, alive, and it's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and to the joints of marrow. And it's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. So let me ask you this morning. Is it not reasonable for us to determine and conclude that if I preach the word of God, that there's going to be people that are going to be hammered? Amen. If I preach the word of God, ain't there going to be people that's going to be broke down into pieces? Would you say amen? If I preach the word of God, there'll be people who feel like that they have been pierced to the deepest part of their recessed being by the sword of the Holy Ghost. Is it not reasonable to come to a conclusion that if there are people that are cold and hard-hearted and don't have any passion at all, if they hear the word of God preached, they will be ignited and set on fire by the power of the Holy Ghost. And then they'll serve Jesus as they know they should. Isn't it reasonable to believe that if I'm preaching the word of God, there are going to be those that are hammered, those that have literally been pierced by the sword, and those that have been set on fire by the power of God? If that's reasonable, shout out and say amen. Any other gospel being preached, any other word being preached behind the pulpit that does not do that is not the word of God.
Amen.
The Bible says that. The Bible says the word of God will cut you just as deep as it can possibly cut you. It'll separate things in your life that you can't separate on your own. It'll reveal your deep-hearted intents. It'll get down to the deepest part of you. It'll reveal who you are. It'll show everybody around you that you ain't nothing but a hypocrite. It'll get a hold of you when nothing else won't get a hold of you. It'll get you sanctified when nothing else will get you sanctified. So, I have to ask the Lord. Lord, have I preached the word of God? If none of this happens, nope, Kip ain't preached the word of God. Kip might have preached about the word of God. He might have preached from the word of God, but he ain't preached the word of God. You see, preaching has a high responsibility. When I preach to you, I have got to give account for your soul. God put you in my path so that I would minister to you and find you where you are and move you to where you're supposed to be. And I found myself this week begging God to give me a few more months before I die so that I can move some of y'all from where I found you to where you need to be. Because I've coddled you. I've loved you when you weren't lovable. I've helped you when you were hurting yourself. I hurt myself to try to help you. I put my family through hell just so that I could preach you the Word of God. I've allowed my body to nearly take me out of here just to stand here and to be able to preach to you. Because I felt like that it was a big responsibility for me to love you as my child and to preach to you and share with you when things was wrong. But I'm finding out, Janice, that many of us are still at the same old place we were when I found you. I remember when some of you moved from where I found you and you went to where God wanted you to be. That was a joyous time in the church. That was a blessed time in the church. People had more money than they'd ever had. There was more joy in the church than ever was. There were people coming to the church begging for the Word of God. But something happened along the way. Something happened along the way to where I felt like that I needed to coddle you a little bit and I couldn't hurt your feelings. But let me share with you right now, and you can look at me in my eyes and you can receive this from the Word of God. No more. Time is short. Jesus is coming. You're fixing to either go home to heaven or you're fixing to go to hell. And it's time for this preacher to stand up and preach the Word of God. It's time this preacher stood up and preached and let the hammer of God fall and break things into pieces. It is time for this preacher to preach and let the sword of God pierce so deep that it cuts you to the very deepest of your core. It's time for this preacher to preach and make you mad with him. It's time for this preacher to preach and not back up anymore. It's time for me to preach to this cold, dead-hearted, dead mind, dead heart that's here in this church that don't have any passion and light you up with the fire of the Holy Ghost one more time. Preaching's a high responsibility. It's time to preach it. There's a lot laid on me. If you don't know anything else for your preacher, I want you to pray that your preacher will learn how to preach. I can teach you. I've taught myself how to teach myself. I've taught myself how to teach you. But I still need God's help in being able to preach the Word of God. Amen? Amen. Write this down. Teachers convey the mind of God. Teachers convey the mind of God. But preachers convey the heart of God. There is a difference. A big difference. You see, a preacher prepares himself completely different than what a teacher does. A teacher will grab a book that somebody else has taught and use somebody else's words to teach you a spiritual truth. I'm not against a teacher. I've done that. It's a blessing to have a teacher. But a preacher will get into his closet and he'll go before God and he'll start praying about a message that he's going to preach 4 months down the road. And he'll beg God to show him his heart. God, share with me what your heart is about this. God, don't stop me. Don't allow me just to preach on the fruit of sin. Let me preach on the root of sin. Don't let me just preach on the fruit of bitterness. Let me get down to the root of bitterness. I believe that we fuss and speak against the fruits of sin and never touch the root. And that's the reason why we're at where we're at today. You see, abortion is a fruit. It's a fruit of sin. It's time to get down to the root. And I can keep right on pruning fruits, but I'll never ever change the roots until I put some of God's medicine on the root. Isaiah 57:15 says, God is a high and lofty God, and He dwells in the high and lofty. He's holy, and He will dwell with those with a broken and a contrite heart and spirit. God will only dwell in two places. He is high and lofty, and He will dwell with you if you have a broken spirit and a contrite heart. That's the only place God's going to dwell. And until your spirit is broken, until your heart stops being so hard, God is not dwelling with you. Amen. It is time for us to realize He's holy. It's time for us to realize He calls Himself holy. The gospel that has been preached behind the pulpit is not the gospel that God gave us. It is time to preach the gospel. The gospel that has been preached is that all you need is a 3-inch cross. Y'all might not understand what I'm saying. They put you in a light to where you're not so bad a person. That all you need is a little 3-inch cross, and you can crawl on that cross because you ain't so bad, and you can be crucified. But when you get a revelation of what sin is, and when you get a revelation of what God is, and when you get a revelation of what God hates, and when you get a revelation of what God built for sin to live in the rest of his life, when you get that revelation, you'll begin to understand that there ain't no cross on this earth big enough for you to crawl on and be crucified. It was the cross of Jesus and his blood and his sacrifice, his brokenness, that allows you even the opportunity to come into this house and give your heart to God. Amen. And to live with him. In Sunday school this morning, I asked a question. I said, is it not, don't you think, that one of the problems in the church today is the way the gospel has been preached? And I went on to ask, we have preached that if you come to the altar and ask God to forgive you one time, that that's it. Walk up to the altar in a Baptist church, shake his hand, and now you're a Christian. I want to share with you, that's not going to make you to get to heaven. I also want to share with you, one trip to this altar don't get you to heaven. Repentance in your life is when you said, I'm done with that, and I'm never going to be a part of it again. And you turn away from that, and you walk away from it completely. Amen. Until you've done that, there's not been a transaction with you and God. Amen. If you're living with somebody you're not married to, I don't care how many times you've asked God to forgive you. If you're still in it, you ain't repented. Hello, amen. Amen. Those are sins that Bible says that hell was made for. If you are a constant, habitual liar, before you came and prayed that prayer and you wind up still lying, the Bible says every liar will have their part in the lake of fire and brimstone. If you are still a habitual liar today, if nobody can put any faith in your words, if your word, when you promise that you're going to do something, you don't do it, I doubt your salvation, because the Bible says you got a place in the lake of fire. In other words, it's not me judging you, it's God that's judging you. God said, I will not accomplish and live with people that are liars. I will not live with people that are adulterers. I will not live with people that I have designated to live in hell. That's right. And if you want to live with God, that means you got to get rid of that stuff in your life and you got to walk away from it forever. Amen. Everybody holler out and say forever. Forever. Punch that beside him and say, preach the word. Holler at him again and say, he only lives in two places. In a broken spirit, a contrite heart, and the high heavens. Amen. He will not live in hell. He will not live, put his presence right in the middle of hell. He's not going to do that. He's looking for a broken heart, a broken spirit, a contrite heart, someone that understands that the cross on this earth needs to be a whole lot bigger if it's going to crucify me. Amen. We got to get a revelation of just what sin is. It is literally a shame. As the preacher preaches this morning, I got to preach the word. Look at somebody and say, he's going to preach the word. I tell him again, say, he's going to preach the word. It is a shame on Living Water Worship Center that there is no Sunday night service here anymore. It is a shame on you, not me, you, that there is not a Wednesday night service or Sunday night service here. It is a shame that people in this world will ride by this church tonight at 6 o'clock and find you at your house. It is a shame that on Wednesday night a person on the way to hell could drive up into this parking lot and nobody be here to lead them to the Lord. Amen. That is the gospel. That is what we need to hear. The word of God says, I'm going to find you where you are. And I'm going to move you to where you're supposed to be. Amen. When I preach the word, I'm hunting where you are. Like Nehemiah that said, all right, I found you. You're out of covenant with God. Here's what I'm going to do. You're going to get it right with God, and you're going to get it right with God today. And to prove to you, you're going to get it right, I'm sending every one of the soldiers to go lock the gates up of this city. You ain't leaving this house until you get it right. He said, and if you open up your mouth and give me any back talk, I'm going to slap you in the face. And if you continually keep right on and will not listen to the Lord, I'm going to grab you by the hair of your head and I'm going to pull you to the altar and you're going to get it right with God. We need some Nehemiahs today that'll stand up and say, I'll embarrass the hell out of you if it takes it to get you into heaven. Oh, we didn't get a big amen there, but it's the truth. We need somebody that is not a bashful to stand up and proclaim the word of God and not just talk about the word of God and not just preach from the word of God, but let's find the word of God and let's preach as hard and move people from where they are to where they should be. Because not one word of God is changed. Every promise is still the same. Who he was, he's still today. Amen. Not one word of God has changed. This culture might have changed. Your belief might have changed. Your perception of this and that may have changed. But the truth of the matter is my God's the same God he was yesterday. He'll be the same God tomorrow. He'll be the same God until next week. And he'll be the same God on judgment day. Amen. And I pray that God will give me mercy enough that when I finally stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ and he asks me, I gave you so and so soul. Did you move them from where they were to where they should be? Did you preach the word? Did you embarrass them when they needed to be embarrassed? Did you hold them accountable when they needed to be held accountable? Did you wake them up when they were asleep listening to your word? Did you preach my word to them and move them? I hope and I pray that God will tell me, well done, thy good and faithful servant. Amen. However, I'm afraid that if today I had to stand, in front of God, that I would have to tell him, no, I haven't moved them from where they should be. They're still where they used to be. It is a shame that I even have that little doubt in my heart. Because sometimes the devil comes to me and tries to tell me that I'm not a good person. And I've even said to myself, if no one else is going to support you, then why would you even do it? I don't know what's wrong with my pen at this point. Then I stand before my people and say, well, my bad pastor. You're a bad pastor. You see, we all know where we are, but we don't want to move. Not one word. Still the same.
Thank you.